You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 517. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me, joining me in Las Vegas from, I'm assuming, like, a rainy Seattle. I mean, it just pretty much, like, always rains there, so I'm assuming that I'm safe and just guessing that there's probably a bit of precipitation in the air.
I think it's waiting to come down is for sure, because it's very gray right now, right. And the clouds are getting thicker out there, and while we just got back from doing the face-offs at the base of the Space Needle, and the clouds were, you know, it's weird. It reminded me a lot of, like, Ohio in times where it was, like, gray, and then shades of gray, brighter gray, darker gray, and then it looked like clouds. And I thought I felt something in the back of my neck. I was like, oh, please don't start raining while we're standing out here waiting, because Henry was late getting over there. He wasn't too much late, but, you know, of course, wanted to take his own car, his own vehicle, so he could have his team and his camera people, and then it pushed everybody back, you know, but everybody else made it on the time. But it got gray, but I think it rained last night and the other day. I think that there was some rain, but I haven't walked through the rain, but there's definitely been water on the ground. So I think it's been raining late night or something.
I bet. But been a few years since I've been up there, man, Pacific Northwest. I was Seattle, Vancouver, Portland. You know, they're all very different cities, but obviously all up in that area. Like, I always thought all three of those were kind of good host cities, like just a lot of stuff to do and, like, good places to hang out. So I'm assuming, have you gotten to go out and, you know, explore the city a little bit maybe?
I've gotten to see a few of the local hangs. You know, last night we went to a couple cool little bars, but probably the coolest one so far is a place called Screwdriver, which was a practice space / music recording studio that Nirvana used to practice out of. So, like, yeah, I hit it off with, like, the bar owner. We were talking about music and other stuff, and he was like, can I show you something? I think you're going to really like this. And I was like, yeah, let's go. And he's like, I'm going to take you back to the music venue so you could see. So we went back, and there's still a music venue on the other side of the wall. They don't really open up the door. You have to go into a different entrance way to get into it, but it is connected by a door. And then he ends up showing me the green room. And where the green room is, there's a piece of the recording studio, like, window from what the engineer would have been. So where we were standing in the green room would have been the area where, just on the opposite side of the engineer, so there would have been band equipment and other shit. So, like, where Nirvana and them would have been, like, practicing was all, like, right in that little area there.
That
so it was really, really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of really cool artwork on the walls. Like, you could literally take hours and hours or days to try to look at all the different pieces of, like, artwork that this guy sort of curated in there. But that was really, really cool. You know, when you think of, like, the different music genres from the world, you know, when you think about American contributions, especially grunge.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, Seattle is the birthplace of that, yeah. You know. So being able to go through, like, a club, you know, that, you know, had some history. And it's a dive bar, so it was, like, right up my alley, and I was just like, this is perfect.
That is awesome.
Did hit up a couple of little bars and stuff, but, yeah, that was probably the coolest highlight of it so far.
Cool,
so
man. I mean, I would honestly say to this day, I'd say Nirvana is still one of my favorite bands. You know what I mean? Like what they put out. Obviously, that was kind of my time growing up or whatever. And they changed the game. And then obviously, you know, like you said, all the Pearl Jam coming out of there, and you know, I mean, there's so many other great bands coming out of Pacific. That's super cool, man. Well, I'm cool. I'm glad you got to do that, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's neat.
Definitely look out of place like that. How were the face-offs today? You said they were at the base of the Space Needle.
I thought there was going to be up top or whatever, and then they just do one of these things where they put them right in front, but we're so close that it's hard to get.
You can't shoot it, right?
You know, you can't really shoot it, you know. You have to try to make some sort of, like, pan. So I end up going handheld because I was, like, on a tripod. I was like, I'll never be able to do it. And even then, I wasn't really completely happy with it. So we had the co-main and the main. And so on the co-main, I started initially lower, trying to think, like, oh, okay, well, I'll shoot loader and I'll shoot up and maybe I'll be able to see more of, like, the needle in the background. And it just, the angle, I was not happy with the angle. I just didn't like it. And I was just like, oh, shoot. So I corrected it for the second one. And so it looked a little bit different. But, you know, outside of that, it was very cordial. You know, there's no real heat in these matchups, you know. In fact, after the guys sort of faced off, you know, it was like the bro hugs, hey, all right, you know, I'll see you tomorrow or whatever kind of deal. But it was interesting. It was good. But, yeah, we are having that weather, you know, changing. And, again, I was just like, please don't let it rain on these guys because then they're going to be pissed off and grumpy, and then you're going to have all the media that's pissed off and grumpy. I was like, let's get through this. But it was cool. It was fun. And a lot of people were marking, too. You know, like, I think people, you know, Henry himself yesterday at Media Day was, you know, wearing his Short King shirt.
Right.
And so, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, you know, like, when I'm referencing what I remember them being, I'm thinking, like, Song is going to be much bigger, or at least a good size bigger than Henry. But when you put them straight up opposite each other, there wasn't a big, huge, you know, size gap. And I think a lot of people were remarking on that. They're like, whoa, you know, like, you know, I thought Song was much bigger, you know, much bigger. But and when you get him in front of them, that's not actually the case, you know. So, but it was good. It was good to see it. You know, that's whenever you see the guys start facing off, then you get the stark reminder that here we are. It's fight week.
Yeah.
You know, the fight's days away. So that's always kind of fun to kind of see that sort of thing. So I was into it for sure.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man. Well, we'll break down the card a little bit, talk a little bit about it. A card that I'm just going to say before we get too far into it, I know it took a lot of hits, and I'm not going to sit here and say it didn't get decimated, but I still feel like there's some matchups on there that look like it are pretty intriguing that I'm kind of excited by. So we'll talk about those in a second. But you used some words that were perfect to describe my week, Cold Coffee. It's been an interesting one for me. Grumpy and pissed off. I got a talking to. I haven't had a talking to in a long time, man.
What?
Yeah. Apparently the Aaron Pico interview that I did earlier in the week did not go over especially well at the PFL offices, and I actually had somebody reach out to me that was upset and kind of had some things to say to me, which I was a little taken back by, man. To be honest with you, I was a little bit surprised, a little bit upset.
Well, I mean, taken back because that you gave him the platform or something that you actually said about it?
Well, that's the problem is that there were no specifics were given. Just the fact that I gave him the platform to air out his grievances.
He went on a media like tour. Like,
I know.
He did an interview at Junkie, and then I saw him doing an interview. Did ESPN do an interview, or did Ariel do an interview?
I know
he did multiple
Thomas,
people.
Luke Thomas, I know, MMA fighting as well. Mine just happened to come out first, and I don't know. Apparently that resonated, and I had somebody reach out, and that kind of insulted me, to be honest with you. Kind of said some things that stuck with me a little bit, that maybe kind of bothered me a little bit, kind of insulted my integrity a little bit, man. And it was
interesting.
Haven't had that happen in a while, so I just want to share that because it's been a while since somebody's been mad at me, and I don't particularly like it. I was a little upset. I didn't think, and to be honest with you, I didn't feel like I did anything wrong. I was like, I don't understand. I just interviewed the guy, man. I think I probably asked like four questions the whole time. Aaron was the one that knew exactly what he was going to say. So anyway, yeah, it was funny because he went on to do a bunch of interviews and all that. And I'm not sure if all those other people got reached out to as well, but it was interesting because I tell you what, man, I feel Here's what really bothers me about it is I feel like I've been one of the few people that has kind of stood out and defended the PFL in a lot of ways and kind of praise them for some of the good they do when I feel like most people take shots at what they're not doing well. So I think that's probably one reason it hurt my feelings a little bit more than anything. But they're in an interesting spot right now, right? Because, you know, Aaron, to his credit, I thought laid out everything pretty clearly and was not emotional about it, but just made it clear, like, hey, man, here's the problems. Didn't get all my fights done. Had multiple fights scheduled. They didn't happen. My contract's up, and I know you have a matching clause, but I'd just really like for you to waive it because I have no intention of being here. And, you know, I think you defaulted on my contract because I was supposed to have 7 fights. You only gave me 5, but I'm not worried about that. Just please, you know, waive my matching rights, and we'll be good. I want to go fight in the UFC. And I understand why the PFL wouldn't want to do that. Like, if they do that, and, you know, now you got, like, Corey Anderson. People are coming out and, you know, Johnny Eblen, and they're saying, what am I doing? If everybody says cut me and you cut them all, well, then what did you – well, not, I shouldn't say cut them all, but you released them all. You waived their contracts. Then what did you buy Bellator for? And I know you didn't pay any money for it. You just traded stock for it. But then it's a complete waste of whatever you did spend in stock in getting the organization because, you know, of course you have the tape library and you have stuff like that. But, I mean, those aren't assets that you're monetizing right now. It's really the athletes that you went after. So I understand that they don't want to do that because if they do that, it's a huge backfire to them. But at the same time, they kind of set precedent with Pitbull, right? I mean, they said, you know, Don Davis came out and said, look, man, if you don't want to be here, we got it. No worries, man. We're not trying to keep anybody here that doesn't want to be here. And they let Pitbull go. So how do you look at all those other people and say, well, we did it for him, but we can't do it for everybody?
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, but that's interesting that they won. If they think that people aren't going to give these fighters a platform to kind of say and air their grievances, you know, then that's not doing what journalists do, you know, like, and it's no skin off anybody's back. So it's interesting that they kind of took that personally to reach out to you. But, you know, yeah, I mean, they opened up the floodgates. You know, if you're going to let, you know, a big guy like Pitbull go, and the crazy thing about that is, and he's immediately booked. He's got a tough, tough opponent.
Yep.
Now you got everybody over there salivating like, oh my gosh, if it can happen that quickly to get a release and get signed and get a fight, like, yes, let me do this right now, you know? I think everybody is not going to, because not everybody, I wouldn't say is welcome. Not everybody's going to be desired by the UFC.
Right.
You know, they're not trying to buy guys, one, that have already been there before and left. You know, they're trying to find guys that they know that they can get multiple fights and that are bringing a big name with them. Pitbull fits the bill. Pico, to a degree, has that name as well. You know, he has potential. It's not at the same level as Pitbull. You know, Pitbull being the champ that he was, and, you know, and he has a lot of backing. You know, he was probably the pick of the litter,
right,
that they were probably looking at over there. But there are some guys that definitely can make that transition over. But, yeah, I mean, I don't see them letting everybody go, because, like you said, you know, what's the point? But I could definitely see if they had any idea or discussed with some of the contracts that were agreed upon, this is certainly an area where you could sort of clean your hands from it. And if the people don't go and don't get over to UFC, maybe they'll come back and accept whatever you want to give them at that point, you know? Like, hey, we released you. You want to go try the market. Market didn't work out. You know, right now your rate is this much.
Yeah.
Instead of this much.
Yeah, you just lost some bargaining power by doing that. It's interesting, right? Yep. First of all, with Pitbull, happy for him, obviously, right? Like, he's fired up. And as you said, walking into a big opportunity, right onto a pay-per-view main card. I mean, awesome.
Huge fight. That's going to be fun. That's tough.
That's a tough assignment. But I'll tell you what, I'll be honest. I was a little bit worried because you said it, right? He's got the pedigree. He's got, you know, he was the face of Bellator. He's got the accomplishment. But, you know, when Dana had that when he was asked about it not that long ago, last month, you know, he's kind of like, I don't know if we're interested in him or not. I'm not sure. I'll have to check. Maybe that was him just playing coy, you know, and not wanting to drive the value up by making it seem like they were too interested.
Yep.
But I was a little bit worried that, like, Pitbull had gone to all that effort to get released, and then the UFC was going to be like, we're good. You're a little long in the tooth. We're good.
Yeah, that's it.
You know?
I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, regardless of his accolades, the dude's 37 years old.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a young fighter. You're maybe going to get 2 or 3 years out of him, depending on how his body holds up and how the fights hold up. If he starts going and getting in these massive wars over at the UFC, he's not going to last long. Agreed. They're probably going to get 2 or 3 fights out of him, and that's it, you know? So
I'm glad it worked. I am glad it worked out for him, though, man. I'm glad it did for him. I was a little bit worried about that. Pico, I think here's the thing that I would take out of this. You know, this thing will work out the way it works out. You know, Pico said, look, I hope they'll let me go early. If they don't, I'll just sit out and wait for a year, and that'll be that, and then I'll come to the UFC. And I believe it. And he's young enough. He started so young that he's still got time on his side. He's fine. But you know what, man? It's just, I guess, a reminder or just something for people to pay attention to, man. A year-long matching clause sounds like a lot to me. I mean, like, I understand it's an agreement he signed, and therefore, you know, and I saw that was started some of the backlash. It's like, hey, why are you asking for your release? Like, you signed this contract? And that's fair. That is absolutely fair, to be honest with you. So the PFL, if they elect to hold him, you know, if they elect to say we're not releasing you early, they're not doing anything wrong by doing that. They're absolutely not. I want to make that very clear right now. I personally think they should let the guy go. He's saying, hey, I don't want to fight for you. I'm not going to fight for you. But, man, I guess moving forward, a year seems like a long time. Like, you know, normally you hear like, oh, we'll have like a 30-day exclusive negotiating period. And then what? Maybe like a 90-day matching period would seem like fair to me. Like, hey, go, you know, okay, we didn't get anything done in this exclusive period. Hey, go out there, see what's out there, and, you know, if you sign something, you know, let us have 90 days to match it. But a year seems like an awful long time, you know? I don't know. Does that seem – I mean, again, and I've heard that, you know, it's not like it's not like it's rare that this was some weird contract, but, you know, when you really think about it, if you're in a position like Pico is in, because if he accepts an offer – and then he has to run it by the PFL. They can instantly match it, and he's stuck. You know what I mean? And it's their decision. So I don't know. It just seems like an awful long time. And I think fighters got to be aware of that with contracts moving forward.
Yeah, and I think that's it. You know, they just got to watch it. I mean, I think there's a lot of times too where, you know, say when you take employment at a lot of places, they have written in where you have no compete clauses for a year after that. So, you know, that's not unheard of in a sense. It's just like a no compete clause for a year, you know. So it'd be nice if you know, no compete clauses were for 3 months or 90 days or whatever. You know, I think a lot of people are like, cool, I just got to sit on my hands, then I'll go to that job that I wanted to go that's doing the exact same thing that they were trying to block me from doing. You know, but yeah, I mean, a year does seem, I guess it doesn't seem shocking to me because it, you know, when I think of like the no compete clause, that's where that is. But it does make it, you know, I could see where the fighter's like, please don't hide, you know, hold me down for a year. And if there's no animosity, I don't see why somebody even tries to hold him to that point, you know, unless you really, really want to get something back from it, or you really just don't want to let them go. But if a fighter's telling you they're willing to sit out for a year rather than fighting your organization, that person doesn't want to be there. How can you believe that they're going to give you their best effort when they actually get in there? If you forced them to take a fight, you know, like, they're just going to mail it in. They're not going to help you promote it. They're going to do the piss poor job, and they'll probably, if anything else, badmouth you during the fight week, you know, and saying other stuff. It's like you almost want to try to find the most amicable exit at that point. So that you don't do more negative damage overall to the brand, because that person's going to be shitting on you the whole time when there's quite possibly you might be able to get out of them. Well, you know, hey, you know, I didn't retire there, but I want to thank the organization for allowing me to get out of my contract and move on to other things I've wanted to do. I appreciate my time there. I appreciate the staff. You know, try to find some way to spin it in a good light instead of, you know, F these guys. You know, I can't believe they maybe sit on the sideline for a year because they just wouldn't release me. I told them I wasn't going to fight. You know, I mean, like, try to find a best way. You don't want to do that with the whole roster, obviously, but not everybody's going to try to go because not everybody's got an open door at the UFC. I think there's going to be a very select few that have a ticket to the UFC. I don't think the PFL really needs to worry if they start saying, okay, guys, I'll let you go, because a lot of them don't have that option.
I agree with you, and I think this is a bad look for them moving forward if they stick to their guns on this. Again, Not saying that they're wrong in asking someone to adhere to the terms of a contract. They're not.
Yep.
But you got to think about –
that's their legal right.
100%. They're legally right. But you got to think about what this is going to do for your PR with the public, what this is going to do for PR with potential people that might want to sign for you. You know, like, man, weren't they that organization that, you know, Aaron Pico wanted to get out of there and they made him sit around and wait for a year and lose a year of his career? Nah, I'm good. I'm going to pass on that. You know what I mean? So I just think they got to be I think they got to be very, very aware of that. So real quick.
I would say, though, I mean, when it comes to who can do more damage to your brand with their names, Pitbull, Pico, no offense to him, but Pico is not on the same level
right.
as Pitbull when it comes to, like, renown and, like, namespace.
True.
So, like, if they had to pick somebody to let go because if they are trying to cut the, I guess, backlash, it's certainly going to be, you know, not that Aaron isn't a name and they doesn't command, you know, people. I mean, people wanted to interview him. Everybody wanted to interview him after it because it was news. But if people like Pitbull kept yelling and saying things, and that's why I think, you know, when Patchy Mix says – Patchy's got more, I would say, namespace to say stuff about let me out of things as opposed to Pico. And so if they wanted to pick and choose, okay, well, right now we're only going to do to one guy, I think they made the right decision in letting Pitbull go, because I think if he would have started bad-mouthing, I think it would have went further – than what Aaron will, you know. But again, I hope they do release him. I hope they let him do what, you know, he needs to do. But if they're like, eh, I think we could ride this one out, I think they just realize that it's not going to be as bad as if they were trying to do it with a bigger name guy.
It's true. It's true. I tell you, you know, real quick, you talk about non-competes. Obviously, that doesn't completely relate to mixed martial arts, although it can if you're talking about organizations or what have you. What's going on?
My phone AI started like talking to me about a conversation with Pitbull. I was like, how did that get triggered?
That's amazing.
And I was like, why are you starting up in the first place? I'm like, what did I say that kicked my... It literally, the screen says Pitbull controversy, you know, and I'm like, what is going on here?
Ah, that's hilarious.
Stop listening to my conversation, phone.
Man. I was just going to say real quickly, like non-compete clauses. I think non-compete clauses in the workplace in any industry are the biggest bullshit ever. Unless
– it's such shit.
Unless you sell a company to somebody. That's the only reason. Like if I buy a company from you, I should be able to know that you're not going to just go start another company and be my competitor. You know what I mean? Like if I'm paying you for your business – I should be able to institute a clause that you're not going to just go start this company again, knowing all that you know, having all the contacts that you have a contact, and instantly become my competitor. In that situation, I think non-compete agreements are fair. Other than that, for just rank and file employees, even executives, to leave a job if you're at a place that you're not happy with and you know for whatever reason it's not working out, to try to enforce a non-compete agreement on somebody is bullshit, man.
Yeah, and I hear if you have, you know, that it can be tough to even sort of enforce it, you know, is it really worth it? But a lot of these companies do have legal people, and it's usually the people trying to fight them that don't have the legal means to fight them. But I've heard that they're, you can get out of them if you have, you know, either them just letting you or they don't care enough to try to do it, or if you usually lawyer up. But not everybody has that opportunity or that option sometimes. But, yeah, no competes are just ridiculous.
Ridiculous. All right, here's one other thing I want to bring up real quick, and I tweeted this out last night. And, again, grumpy and sour, there's people on the internet that are funny always. The UFC class action settlement list, the list of athletes that haven't filed for – their settlement share yet, right? That haven't given their contact information yet. I'm thankful to see that the plaintiffs actually, the first place I saw it was Josh Gross actually released it. But I guess the plaintiffs are actually like sending out lists of people that qualify under the class that haven't contacted them yet. And if they don't contact them, they won't get their share of money. And I actually, to be honest with you, like, so I retweeted his tweet and then I actually went through the list and I started like texting people, whether it be fighters or managers of fighters that I know, and just being like, hey, your name's on this list. Like, you're owed money. Like, you should sign up for it. And a couple people came at me on social media, as you would expect, and just I mean, obviously randoms are always going to talk trash, but they're like, oh, you're never getting the first question again now, or, oh, why are you – you know, the UFC's done so much for you. Like, why are you going against the UFC? I want to make it clear because I think that's an idea that people have. Like – the money that's going to be paid is going to be paid. Like, the amount is already set. If you don't, yep. if you're owed money and you don't claim your share, that doesn't save the UFC any money whatsoever. All it means is that share gets distributed to the other people on the list. So, I mean, first of all, I mean, I don't know. I guess they're trying to say, like, hey, the UFC is going to be pissed off that you're trying to help these people or whatever. Like, dude, that's ridiculous. And if anybody on that list is not filing simply because, like, they think they're doing the UFC a favor or – because and I even put that in my tweet. I'm like, look, even if you don't feel wronged, like, even if you feel like, man, I didn't even care about this lawsuit because I didn't think they – you know, they always treated me good. You're still legally entitled to the money. Like, why would you turn down free money? You know, and it's – and again, it's not like if you don't claim your share. So you could sit there and be like, hey, man, I don't feel like the UFC really did me wrong, so I don't want to claim my money because I feel like, you know, I'm taking from them when they don't owe me anything. They don't get that money back. It just goes to somebody else.
And didn't Dana say that? Or am I just making that up in my head? I swore it. And, like, one of the pressers or whatever, he's like, that money's – I thought he even said that. Like, the money's theirs, you know, to get it. I'm happy they're going to get their money, whatever, you know, or something along those lines. Like, he was like, yeah, that's good. Fighters are going to get their money, you know, blah, blah, blah.
That's it.
It is what it is.
So, listen, I just want to say it here, too. If for whatever reason anybody has a mistaken impression that by not claiming the money, the UFC won't have to pay it, that's wrong. It's going to be paid. So, therefore, if you see anybody on that list that you know – reach out to them. I mean, seriously, like, reach out to them. I was texting people that, like, I had their number. There were people that I knew other people, like teammates of theirs. I'm like, hey, text so-and-so and tell them this right here and, you know, do that. Like, it would just be silly to let that money go to somebody else, go to waste, you know what I mean? And you know, there's a couple fighters on there on the list that have unfortunately passed away, man, and I do hope – that somebody's reaching out to their families who might not be aware of how to handle it because, you know, that may be some necessary income that they could use, especially if they've lost somebody that was helping provide for them. So, I don't know. Yeah. I see that there's clearly some misunderstanding out there in the marketplace and want to make sure people understand you're not doing the UFC a favor by not claiming your money. They already have to pay that money anyway, so you might as well get what's yours.
Yeah. Was Bonner on the list?
I did not see Bonner on the list. No, I did not see him. That would be bad. Yeah, that hopefully they.
Well, I was just gonna say maybe that. Yeah, I was gonna say I'm sure he would have been entitled to it. So maybe that just means that they already took care of it. Because yeah, I mean that family definitely could have used that for sure.
Absolutely. I saw like Josh Simon was on there and John Hierro was on there. So those were a couple of names I saw. So hopefully, you know. Hopefully, people are taking care. I don't know either of those families, or I'd reach out to them. I thought about like Josh Simon, like the MMA Masters guys. I know the MMA Masters guys that he used to train with. Maybe texting them and saying, "Hey, make sure you know." Because I know. Look, I mean,
it's not a bad look, you know. Because yeah, I mean, I'm sure a lot of them, you know, have heard about this thing, but maybe just haven't put the dots together, you know, that Josh was due some of this money, you know. It might not be a lot, but it's certainly more than nothing.
Yeah, anything helps. And again, like I said, it's already paid for, guys. You're not taking anything extra from the UFC and you're not getting them to, you know, potentially any money they could save. You're just making sure you get the money that's earmarked for you, that you're legally entitled to. So, anyway, listen, before we get into UFC Seattle, I did want to ask you something really interesting. So, a lot of news, as we talked about last night, you know, the Pitbull news was among there. A lot of it all broken down. Ilia Topuria leaving the featherweight division. We all kind of knew that was coming, right? I mean, he had openly expressed it like, hey, I'm going to move up to lightweight. I don't know if we were sure that it was going to happen right away, but, you know, Dana gets the speculation over with. He says, look, we don't have a fight done yet, but come on, man. I mean, you don't give up a UFC title to not fight for a UFC title, right? Unless maybe they worked out something where he's like, look, I want to go up to 55, and they're like, hey, you're not fighting for the title yet, and he'd have to counter with, all right, but will you pay me like I'm fighting for the title? At that point, then maybe you take a warm-up fight I wouldn't say a warm-up fight, but an entry fight into the division. But economically speaking, you're not going to give up a UFC title to not fight for a title and keep continuing to make that money. So, therefore, I think you can safely assume the Islam Makhachev fight is next, unless for some reason they did have some kind of special agreement between them. Tough assignment. We'll break that all down. We'll have plenty of time once it gets announced. Big size difference between those two. But here's my question. How do you rank the featherweight division now all time in terms of champions, right? You got Jose Aldo, Conor McGregor, Max Holloway, Alexander Volkanovski, Ilya Topuria. Ilya just knocked off Volkanovski and Holloway, but he's gone already. And I always say, like, you need tenure, right? If you're going to say you're the greatest, because I see people, I see people saying, hey, he's the greatest featherweight of all time. And, I mean, by beating two of the only guys to ever hold the title and two of the greatest to ever hold the title, I mean, you can make a claim. But I don't know, man. You don't have all those defenses. So, like, I kind of feel like even though he just knocked out Volkanovski, like, maybe Volkanovski's the greatest of all time. If it's not Jose Aldo as the greatest of all time. I mean, you know, Conor, I don't think Conor, no disrespect to Conor, he's the biggest star of all time, but I don't think he even honestly belonged in the discussion of the greatest featherweight of all time. You could make the argument for Max, but I think it's got to be either Volk or Aldo. But I don't know. I'm just curious what you think, because I think people are going to start looking at that in retrospect. Like, what – I mean, Topuria, almost similar to Conor, had, like, this insane rise, this amazing run to the top. And it is kind of funny because people always draw the similarities between Topuria and McGregor. And this is very McGregor-esque in that he wins the title and he's out. You know what I mean? Defends it once and he's gone. Which is more than more than Conor did. So I don't know.
Which is more than Conor did.
So I don't know. Like, does he deserve to be discussed as the greatest featherweight of all time?
I mean, he's certainly one of the best of all time. I mean, like, you beat these guys that, of course, have been you know, the guys that we've earmarked at a time as being the GOATs of that division. But, you know, and I don't want to say that they were a bit longer in the tooth when they actually met up than when these guys were setting
I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
It is fair, right? I mean, like, you know, Max and them, you know, Max had been jumping around doing things. You know, we've been saying Max was nearing, you know, the end of his career as well. He's been picking these fun fights that we love to see. But, you know, it's not the same, you know. But when you see these guys, when I think of a GOAT, you know, I think of somebody that, you know, holds the belt and just rules the division for years, you know, and it has, like, double-digit defenses, you know, and or getting up there or something, you know. So, in my mind, even though he did beat Volkanovski, I place Volk and for what he was able to do with the division on a slightly higher. But when you I don't even put Volk, I think, in my book. Maybe I'm just sentimental. But Aldo and what he did in his past and how what he was able to do and make a name for himself, and literally people didn't even pay attention to that division, that weight class, until there were guys like Aldo out there, yep, you know, doing what they did. So in my book, you know, Aldo still is higher up than what, like, Ilya or whatever. But, I mean, you can't take away those victories over the names, but it's just the guys weren't – yes, they're the same people, but they're not the same people. Nope. That, you know, they are not fighting at the same level. But Ilya's he's a big, strong dude for that weight class. I mean, he's very, very powerful. He's very exciting. But, I mean, there's a reason why. If he can't make that weight anymore, he was barely making it before, and he was too big, you know, and that, so he was overpowering these guys. But it's just I'm just so surprised that he's willing to just step away from it so quickly.
I am too.
You know, unless there was really problems with making it. But, he was making the weight. It obviously was either just very, very hard, or I just don't know why he wouldn't try to just do – unless they forced him and they were tired of doing the two-division thing. Like, why he wouldn't still try to do both things unless he just physically can't, because he was very, very dominant. And I think if he would have stuck around – then we maybe would have that conversation. But, yeah, I mean, same thing like you mentioned Conor. You know, without having defenses, it's great that you, you know, helped enable and start this whole champ thing and get people moving around. But, you know, people wanted to see you, like, reign over the division and you know, just do great things for a long time. But when you guys just kind of go up and move, and now everything's just about how many crazy new exciting fights can I get outside of my division so that it doesn't affect my ranking in that division type thing. And it's just like,
Dude, I'm glad you feel that way, man. I just, like I said, and it's no knock on Topuria. I like Topuria a lot, man. I mean, his skills are amazing. I like his swagger. Like he's a fun fighter to watch. It's just,
He's on his way there. He just needs to stay.
Yeah.
Just stay and do a couple more fights. I mean, I mean, I guess that's when they're like, well, who can you beat now that's more exciting than the guys that he's already fought? And you're like,
which is fair. I mean, look, I mean, the idea of and you're 100% right about that, because if he goes up and beats Islam Makhachev, now he may not be the greatest featherweight of all time, but we're talking about one of the greatest overall of all time, right? So I do think I understand his desire to want to go do that. I do. I'm a bit surprised when I see people are like, dude, that's the greatest featherweight of all time. He just took out the other two GOATs. And I'm like, well, yeah, it kind of works that way, but it kind of doesn't. You know what I mean? Like, to me, I've always felt that way, and I continue to feel that way. It's about longevity, man. It's about clearing out a division, taking out every contender. And you're right. I don't think he beat Holloway and Volkanovski necessarily in their prime. You know what I mean? Now, it looks even better if Volkanovski comes back and beats Lopez and takes the belt one more time. But I just – I'm not knocking on what he's doing, and I'm not knocking on his progress towards what he – and if he beats Islam, it'd be amazing. But I just don't think he was there long enough to say he's the greatest featherweight champion in UFC history. Like, just winning the belt and defending it once, I think that when you talk about the greatest champs in history, it's 5, 6, 7, 8 title defenses. It's Anderson Silva-esque, George St. Pierre-esque, Demetrius Johnson-esque, John Jones-esque, where you dominate for you know – generation. So I did think it was interesting. Rizvan Magomedov, who of course is a manager to Islam Makhachev. I mean, Ali Abdelaziz is the manager with them as well, but I think, you know, they have certain clients that they're partners with or whatever. But I thought it was interesting that Rizvan came out and tweeted, Topuria versus Dustin Charles contender fight to prove he's a legit lightweight, so we don't have to defeat another quote small featherweight. We need big fight that makes sense for everybody. We already gave chances to featherweight champ that was reigning for a long time. That's kind of a fair complaint from Islam's side too, right? Like, because don't we all just kind of write off the Volkanovski wins for Islam as like, well, I mean, you beat him, but come on, dude. Like, that dude's a featherweight. So if Topuria comes up and he beats him, doesn't everybody just kind of go like, come on, man, you're just beating these featherweights. Like, what are you doing? And it's like, all the risk is on your side without a reward. Yep. Again, now I'm not saying Islam shouldn't fight him, and I'm not saying that's not the fight that the UFC wants to make and all that. But I'm just saying, if we're playing devil's advocate, from Islam's point of view, that is a fair complaint.
Yep.
So.
Yep. I mean, if Illy goes up and beats him, obviously I know in the junkie rankings, he's number 4 for the pound for pound, right behind Islam. You know, I know we've gotten Dana to kind of admit that Islam was the dude, or was he said Islam finally, right?
Yeah, finally. He's like, all right, I give it to him.
So if Ilya went up and beats him, then people got to say, well, okay, well, then that makes him the pound for pound. And it's hard to not – because then at that point, if you say somebody's the pound for pound best, it's hard to not sort of like default them as a GOAT. But unless you put the clarification that the GOAT is about longevity and about lots of defenses and that sort of stuff, because, you know, if he goes up and he beats Islam – then you got to get Dana to admit that Ilya's the pound for pound best guy currently.
Has to be. If he moves up and beats that, so not only does he move up and beat a champion in a division up, which that's right there, that's pound for pound greatness, but beats the dude that you finally admitted is the number one pound for pound guy. There's zero argument. I don't care if it's a razor thin split decision. I don't care if it's like, ooh, I don't know, it was so close. Doesn't matter. You moved up.
Doesn't matter.
You were already, you know, you are, and then in a row, you've taken out Max Holloway, Alexander Volkanovski, and Islam Makhachev in a row.
It's hard to argue with that one.
But I would say, still not the GOAT. Still not the GOAT. Pound for pound, number one right now. It's kind of like the opposite, the argument we were having before about, you know, John Jones isn't the number one pound for pound guy right now, even though he is the all-time GOAT. It's the other way around. You know what I mean? It's like, nah. Yeah. I think you need longevity. But yeah, if he moves up and beats Islam by anything other than like they clash heads and you know what I mean, and the cut calls it to some weird. You know what I mean? Anything other than like Islam twists his ankle and has to call a TKO on the first step forward or something. Like, then no, you're not number one pound for pound. But if the fight actually occurs and you win, it's number one pound for pound.
Yep.
We'll see how it plays.
Wouldn't
out.
That be something?
That'd be crazy.
That would be crazy.
Big fights on the horizon, man. We'll have lots of fun fights to talk about in the near future. Right now, it's UFC Seattle, Henry Cejudo versus Song Yadong. I heard Cejudo did slip in a couple of Yadong jokes. I mean, you know, as you would expect him to do. But I thought he gave you guys I was watching your media stream yesterday. I thought he gave you guys a great interview. I had spoken with him last week as well, and he was in good spirits. I like it. I feel like this Cejudo is he's not all – I mean, he's going to always have his lines. He's, you know, he's – what was it? Sean O'Methy or Meth O'Malley or I don't know, something like
that. Sean O'Methy, I think.
Something like that. I mean, he's got his little things. But I feel like he's being honest. And he said the same thing at the close of the interview with you guys that he told me last week, which is, you know, like, hey, I kind of got a chip on my shoulder this time. And I feel like my back's against the wall and I'm taking this personal. He's opened up about the fact that, like, this isn't the fight that he wanted, and him and Hunter Campbell kind of got into it, and he's like, well, you know, I guess I got to take this fight. So, I don't know. I feel like it's a guy that's dialed in, that's focused. Song Yadong is dangerous, but, I mean, Cejudo's shown the ability, even at his age right now, to compete with anybody. So, before you get a pick, a credit to Song Yadong is English just keeps getting better and better.
Dude.
Amazing.
Better and better.
Amazing. And what did he call him? He called Henry Cejudo Big Head, I believe, was his nickname.
I can't remember.
That was pretty funny. But anyway, how did you end up picking this one in the old staff picks? And you got any strong feelings?
Man, it's after seeing, like, today and then seeing some other stuff, I almost went back on my pick. But, you know, it's hard for me even though I think I picked wrong in the past on him, I think Song has all the capability of doing it and getting this win. But man, I went with Triple C, but then seeing some of the antics today of showing up late to the face-offs. Yesterday, he's got his family here. He's very family focused, which I don't try to think that's a sign of not being ready fight week when you're spending a lot of time with your family, because, you know, you need the distractions and that sort of stuff. I think he's focused. I think he's ready. I'm going to give Henry one last chance where I'm going to pick the Triple C. And depending on how he fights in this one, then that'll be the last time. I mean, a lot of the staff did pick Song Yadong, and I think that's probably the smarter play. It's funny how I said it to myself. I was like, it's still so early in the season. If I pick this one wrong, I'll make up the loss later on in
the
year.
I like it.
So I was just like, you know, I figured just to honor what Triple C has done in the past, I think if he can actually get a hold of him and gets a chance to use that Olympic level wrestling, no matter how much, you know, these fighters think that they've crash coursed on wrestling and preparing, you could have an 8-week camp of nothing but wrestling, and that's still not going to prepare you for the type of wrestling that I think Henry can do if he's able to do it. But unfortunately, it's not a wrestling match. You're going to be taking punches, and you're going to be getting elbowed, and you're going to be getting all kinds of things. So if it was purely a wrestling match, then I think I definitely made the right decision. But it is MMA, and Song's powerful. He's very quick. It just depends on how hard Henry actually did prepare and train himself for this. I hate to think that, you know, we're getting into the second and third round and we're going to start seeing him tire out. You know, I mean, I hope that's not what we see, because Song will be there all five rounds. Yep. You know, unless he takes damage and unless Henry grinds him down, he's going to be there. So I'm hoping Henry has his cardio and everything in check. But I still think that with his wrestling, I think he has the style to kind of negate Song's striking. And but I could be completely wrong. If he goes out there and looks flat, and he thinks he wants to make it a striking match only, then it's going to be silly. Then I think Song will piece him up. But
I agree.
Henry's quick to, like when people try to always bait him and, well, you know, who's going to be the first to take down? Are you going to try to do a takedown first? He's like, you know, it's MMA, guys. Like, I'm a Olympic wrestler. You think I wouldn't try to, like, wrestle?
100%.
But, of course, he's got some hands, too. You know, and he's shown it in the past where he's willing to stand and bang. But Song is not the kind of dude you want to just stand there and take those punches just as a point of pride, because that's stupid. You're gonna end up waking up on the canvas, you know, if you think that you just want to willy nilly strike with him, you know, for no good reason. But who knows? I'm kind of on the fence, but I put my pick in, and if it's the wrong one, I'll just make up for it. I'm still around the top, but I'm not on top. I think I'm only behind one.
Nice.
I think so.
Nice.
I'll catch up.
No, it's. I think I'm kind of like you, man. I think Song is the favorite according to the odds makers, and I totally get that. Like, I think he should be. You know what I mean? Like, Cejudo's been out for several years. He's older. You know, all those things that you say. I get it, but I do agree that if he is dialed in, focused, and is still vintage at his age, he's still got it, then I think he has all the tools, not to mention just the intelligence of it. I mean, high fight IQ. We'll stick to a game plan.
Super huge.
Yeah.
His fight IQ is amazing. Yeah.
I kind of like Cejudo here as an underdog as well, man. I really, really do. So I'll be interested to see how this main event plays out, and then we'll see where it goes from there. Co-main event, Brendan Allen, Anthony Hernandez, two interesting characters, two dangerous guys. Yeah. I was actually a little surprised to see the line in this one. You got Anthony Hernandez up over minus 300, which I was a little shocked to see. I don't know. Like, I feel like and listen, I like Fluffy a lot, man. I mean, I don't see how you don't. The dude he's got a fun style, and he's a fun dude, and that just seems like a lot over Brendan Allen, man. Brendan Allen, I think maybe it's because he's coming off a loss, but against Nassourdin Imavov, who, oh, by the way, is pretty damn good if we weren't sure of that before. I don't know, man. I was a little surprised by this line.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm surprised by those odds. I mean, like, when it comes to, like, I mean, and Brendan Allen's a really good jiu-jitsu guy as well. I mean, like, he's got good striking. He's tough. He's durable. You know, maybe people are just looking at the fact, you know, that last fight of Fluffy's was fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, ending the ground and pound that ended in round five against Michelle Pajeda. Like, that was, I think, one where people are like, I think I picked wrong on that one. And I remember I was so impressed by how Hernandez looked in that. I'm sure people are just thinking, you know, he's, you know, got a lot of good power. His cardio looked good in that fight. Allen is a dog, but I'm a little surprised that it's that big. I did lean Hernandez. I did pick Hernandez, but I'm surprised I would have thought that would have been closer to like a pick 'em. I'm a little surprised.
This to me seems like one of those ones where, like, if you're literally just making picks like you do for, you know, the staff picks or whatever, like, I get it. You're going with Anthony Hernandez. But if you say, I can get Brendan Allen at plus 260, like, that dude's too good to be you know what I mean? Like, I feel like you take that because, you know, you feels like you got a better opportunity there. Maybe that's the Gianni influence on me or whatever, looking for the odds. But I mean, that's what sharp gamblers will always tell you, right? It's like you're playing a number. You know, you're not really playing a name. You're playing a number. And I think – I don't know, man. Brendan Allen at plus 260 to me seems kind of tasty. So we will see how that one plays out. So, listen, this is kind of what I want to say real quick. Just – the next four fights, by the way, I'll ask you what you thought about Media Day, but Julius Walker seems like a cool cat.
He's funny.
Didn't know much about Julius Walker before. Just seems like a cool cat.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about him before, and I was like, who is this dude? He was hilarious. I thought he was really funny. He's got a tough welcome, you know, to the UFC with Alonzo Menifield, but Julius Walker, I liked his personality a lot. I was just like, who is this cat? He was funny. He was in good spirits. You know, granted, you know, he's a bigger guy. You know, he's still got to cut to the light heavyweight. But, I mean, like, he seemed a lot of fun. I was very, very excited to see kind of what, you know, what this guy can bring. But, I mean, tough test. Tough test.
Tough.
But he's
tough
a big boy, man. He's big. He's a big dude.
He's big enough that he'd win in one-on-one. That's what he said. He's like the size in the one-on-one basketball. Just anybody else on the roster would be in trouble.
Well, you know, and to have that sort of, you know, dexterity, you know, your hand-eye coordination to play with basketball and stuff, I mean, that goes a long way. I mean, when you're talking about guys that, you know, trying to really pick their shots and pick their spots where they're going to strike you, guys that have good hand-eye coordination, I mean, like, that goes a long way, you know, so that's impressive. But, yeah, he was certainly bold. He took his – when they asked him, like, who your top five players, he went so in-depth with his answer. I was like, wow, he's really thinking about this. And his squad was pretty good,
Pretty good squad. He's fun. I'll be looking out for him. But, yeah, he does have a tough assignment in Alonzo Menifield. So, all right, so like I was saying, we're off the top. All right, no doubt, this car took hits, right? Like, it was supposed to have Dominic Cruz on it, which, I mean, Dominic Cruz, legend. That would have been amazing. Curtis Blaydes versus Rizvan Kuniev. You know, I don't know that anybody was like, oh, that's my fight of the year. I can't wait to see that one. But it's a meaningful fight, and that got moved.
It's a meaningful fight.
It's a meaningful fight. Yep. Okay. Edson Barbosa, Steve Garcia, that would have been an absolute barn burner, right? Yep. Like, that would have been phenomenal. But understood why that one needed to get canceled. Alex Davis had told me kind of what was going on behind the scenes before it got announced, and I was like, got it, makes sense. So that one sucked. Ketlin Vieira versus Macy Chesson. Again, maybe not the most exciting fight, but again, a meaningful fight as well. You know, I don't think it would have been a fight of the year contender, but a meaningful fight in the division. So,
well, somebody would have got bloodied.
Yeah.
Somebody would have been bleeding.
It would have been good. So, you know, so some meaningful fights that got lost, there's no question about it, so it took some hits. But I'm just saying, I look at the next four fights, and we were talking about one of them. Rob Font versus John Matsumoto. John Silva versus Melsik Bagdasarian. Alonzo Minifield versus Julius Walker. Ian Kutalaba versus Ibo Aslan. Dude, those could all be a lot of fun, man. That Ibo Aslan, by the way, that dude's scary. And you know Ian Kutalaba is going to be. I mean, that dude's Ian Kutalaba's funny.
He showed
man.
Up with his gloves on. Like, I think he must have just been trying on, like, he must have just got some of his gear or whatever. But he shows up to media day with his gloves on and taped, I think.
I saw that.
Maybe they weren't taped, but I was like, what is going on? This dude is ready right now.
That guy was funny.
A really good personality.
That dude's scary, bro.
Yeah, that fight should be nasty.
Like, some
that
chaos gonna is
going to
happen.
Nasty.
So, I mean, that's all fun. And then we didn't even get into Andre Feely is on the card versus Melchizedek Costa. And obviously, anytime Andre Feely's on there, you're going to have a good time there. Mansur Abdal Malik is on there against Nick Klein. A lot of people really high on Mansur as a prospect. Javed Basharat is back against Ricky Simon. The signing of Austin Vanderford, man.
It's a good card.
And this, I'm not just trying to shill here for the UFC or whatever, but I mean, honestly, like, I get it why everybody's complaining. I get it. I totally get it. I mean, you could just keep going for me too, because like Eric McConico was supposed to be on that Tough Enough card that I called last week in the main event. He gets the call up and he's got to go to Nursultan Ruzuboev, which, again, tall order, but when the UFC calls, you answer. Modestus Bukauskas, who I've always liked as a guy, and has had kind of an up and down career against Rafael Cerqueira. So I feel like, again, I'm not trying to say the card didn't get decimated, but I feel like a lot of people are just going, oh, man, this card got ripped to shit, and they stopped there. And it's like, well, it did, but they did pretty good in filling it in. It should still be fun.
Yeah. I mean, when you go up and down the card, I mean, there's not any fight that I'm like, okay, that's one I don't mind skipping. Like, these all look like good fights. I mean, I am certainly interested to see, you know, how Mr. Van Zandt looks going in there. I think that's a tough fight as well, man. But, I mean, that kid's good, man. Austin's a good fighter, man. That'd be interesting. But, yeah, the Ricky Simon, Javed Basharat fight, I think, is going to be bonkers. I mean, it's a good card. I mean, like, yes, it took some hits, but you can't say this is not a good card. I mean, top to bottom, I look at all these fights and I can't see one that I'm like, okay, that one stinks.
Right.
They're all good fights.
100%, man. That's I just wanted to point that out because I feel like it's taking some heat when maybe it shouldn't. Anything else for the media day? I mean, did anybody for the media day stand out to you most? Or, I mean, John Silva's emotion was pretty strong, man. Like, you can tell what this all means to him.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I think that one stand out. I mean, again, that guy, boy, man, I wish he could speak English, because I feel like that's another guy that's got a really good character.
Yep.
You know, coming from a camp, you know, when he gave a lot of praise to a lot of the other team, but I think that's why Kai Bahio, why he resonates so well, is being able to kind of show that personality. And I think any of these guys are these fighting nerds, just the whole idea behind that team, I think you have to have a pretty cool mentality. And I just wish we could talk more, because then when he gets into like these things where he started seeing those emotion, I was like, man, Fabian does a wonderful job translating. I think we get the boast of what it is, but there's just, you know, you miss that being able to fully understand it when he says it. And I think it would really even resonate more once we're finally able to speak with him without going through a translator. But I'm really looking forward to seeing that fight. But yeah, it was neat seeing that emotion. But outside of that, no, just I think everybody had a lot of good energy. They were excited to be here. They're ready to fight. I think people are glad that they're, you know, on the road somewhere. There's always something about, you know, being in an arena in another city where they're actually getting to travel. And this is a cool city. I mean, like, you know, this is probably one of the first time where I've really went around and got to experience some places and, you know, try a little bit more of the nightlife and stuff. So I'm and I think the fighters have been exciting as well. I just wish the weather was a little bit better for them. Going outside with it being sort of gray and cold is probably not the best thing for guys that are trying to cut weight. Yeah, I mean, everybody seemed in good spirits. That's one of the things I took away was that everybody looked very focused and happy to be here and excited. So, yeah, man, I'm excited for some good fights, man. I think it's gonna be fun.
I am too. I'm gonna be watching it on a plane on the way back from Columbia, Missouri. I'm actually taking off tomorrow morning to head out there. And you know, you talk about a cool city. Well, I will be going to a cold city because it's going to be a high of 26 degrees tomorrow is the high. So I'm actually having to break out the pants again, the one pair of Adidas pants that I have outside of my suit pants. So it's going to be a little chilly. But, yeah, if you're hanging out on Saturday and you got some time beforehand, before the UFC Seattle starts, check out the final edition of CFFC Match Day. It'll be Missouri Tigers and Iowa State will be in Columbia, Missouri. I'm actually pulling double duty. I will be I'm working on the graphics in the morning, so I got the early call time with the full crew. Get all the graphics built up, so I'll be working in the truck. And then about an hour before the event starts, I'll move from the truck out to the mat where me and Shane Sparks we'll actually be calling all the action for this one. Should be fun. Honestly, it's the last one of the year, so if you haven't caught any college wrestling, do so. It'll be the last time of the year to be able to watch it on match day. It's going to be a good one. I think it's going to be very competitive. It's also got the return of Keegan O'Toole. So if you're new to college wrestling, Keegan O'Toole, Missouri Tigers, it's crazy. Bro, he's 99-4 in college. Like, 99 and I don't care what you're doing. If you're 99-4 at it, like, that's insane. So, two-time national champion. The other 2 years, he didn't win national championship. He finished third. So he's been an All-American all 4 years. He's seeking his 100th win. He's been injured for the last 2 months, so he wasn't able to compete. He's returning from injury. He's seeking his 100th win at Missouri. And it's also Keegan O'Toole bobblehead night, so they'll be handing out bobbleheads to him in the building. It's senior night, so yeah, check that out, man. It's the return of a star, and it's two powerhouse programs going at it. So again, like I said, I'll be pulling double duty, so I'll build the graphics ahead of time, and then I'll call the action with Shane Sparks. So I'm looking forward to that. And also, if anybody gets a chance, check out the CFFC YouTube page. Because I did an interview with Keegan O'Toole, so if you want to know about him and his mindset, this dude's got a killer mindset, man. He's awesome. He's a competitor. But I also did an interview with Coach Brian Smith, who is in his 27th year at Missouri, which is crazy, man. I like this guy a lot. This is our fourth match that we've done with Missouri this year. This dude is super cool, man. Just a really nice guy. But I got to talk to him, and we previewed it. But he was also the coach of Ben Askren, Tyron Woodley, and Michael Chandler. So he was the one that was their coach when they were all there. And so, you know, I haven't talked to him about them before just because I'm like, well, we're here to talk about your match. But, you know, we've done four of their matches now. So I'm like, man, let me take a little trip down memory lane. And it's cool because he talks about all of them and how they were in college. And it's pretty incredible because I've said it before, I don't think people realize how influential Ben Askren was to college wrestling, how accomplished he was in college wrestling. And he talks about that. He talks about Tyron Woodley, which I didn't realize this, that Tyron Woodley was actually the first Big 12 champ that Missouri ever had. And Tyron was actually had agreed to go to Nebraska. He was committed to go wrestle at Nebraska. And Coach Smith actually went and recruited him and was like, and successfully got him to say, hey, you're from St. Louis, you know, Ferguson actually, but the St. Louis area, like, why don't you stay home in Missouri and help build this program? And, you know, we talked about the relationship with his mom and all that, and he's like, yeah, he was able to keep him and stay there. So he talked about Woodley, and then he talks about Michael Chandler as well. And it's so funny because that was one of the first things he asked. I was like, dude, was Michael Chandler, like, always, like, the just crazy positive motivation guy? And he's like, always, dude. He's like, yeah, always, like, the guy was a walk-on, which I had totally forgotten about. Like, he was a walk-on on the team, but he made his way onto the team with his hard-ass work. And straight up, he was like, I would have to tell Michael Chandler, like, I'm locking you out of the training room. Like, you need to rest. Your body needs to chill. Stop. And then he said he found out that, like, Michael Chandler would go to Ben. I guess Ben Askren had access to a gym, and so they would lock him out of the training room, and Chandler would be like, yo, Ben, you got to let me in the training room over at your place so I can get a workout in. So anyway, it's just cool, man. He's kept up with all of them. He stays in touch with all of them, but he's never made it to a big UFC event before, one of their big fights. He was going to go to the Conor fight, but then, of course, it got canceled. And so he's like, yeah, I've never made it to a big UFC. So with the announcement that Chandler's on that Miami card, season will be over by then. So maybe we'll see Coach Smith there cage side at his first big UFC event. But anyway, check that out on the CFSC YouTube page because I think it's cool to just hear about those guys like from their college coach. It's amazing that they were all kind of on the team at the same time together.
Yeah, so cool. Yeah, that was a really, really cool part of the interview. You could see how much of those guys meant to him as well, and how, you know, I think it's just hearing them talk about how they give back to the program, how the program helped shape them, you know, and continue to do so with them being able to get back. It was pretty fun to hear it. And you could see his pride in his face when he was talking about them. So I thought that was pretty darn cool.
It is cool. And if you ever talk to any of those three about Coach Smith, they'll have that same look in their eyes on the way back, man. They all have a lot of respect for him. It's cool, man. It's been so fun to kind of learn about the college wrestling world. So anyway, that's Saturday morning. So it'll be 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central Time in Missouri. So if you're hanging out on Saturday waiting for UFC Seattle to start, give it a look there. Check out me and Shane Sparks on UFC Fight Pass. So, well, listen, hopefully everybody's cool with the Thursday afternoon. You know, I think it gives us a little bit of time to reflect on the media day, to be a little bit fresher than sometimes we may be at the end of a long media day. And
that's true.
Hopefully everybody that we really, really appreciate over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow was cool with the Monday afternoon thing getting together. It was a little bit later than it was supposed to be. That was Cold Coffee's fault. But so I think we'll keep that going, because then, again, it allows us both to kind of chime in. And, again, this Saturday, I'm not going to be able to watch all the fights live. I've got to connect through Dallas on the way home. So I basically call the matches, and just like the last time, just go straight from there, like change clothes and go straight to the airport and hop on a plane. So I will miss some of it as I'm transitioning between planes and airports and all that stuff. So it'll take me a little while to get caught up. But – that'll give me Sunday to get caught up, and then we can reconvene on Monday for the and a half action over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. What you got on the radar tonight? There any more? I know you got early weigh-ins tomorrow, so probably not too rambunctious this evening. But go out in the streets of Seattle.
I was tipped off to a good Korean barbecue joint that I think I'm going to go to. In fact, I was just looking at the menu to see what the options.
He's already planning, bro. This thing is getting posted, like, and he's out the door.
Well, unfortunately, they don't open up for another hour and a half, so I got some time, unfortunately. but I'm going to be I'm like, sir, can you open up early? I'm ready to eat. I haven't really eaten anything all day, and I am ready to go.
Is this the Korean barbecue place I heard that has dollar beers?
Yeah, so you buy the one beer full price, and then it's like refills for a dollar.
Oh, man.
I think that's what their special was. So, yeah, I'm just purely going just to make sure that that's the case. I might just research a little bit and have a couple. But honestly, bro, after the past couple of days, I'd be fine just having water, I think.
if I had been able to make the trip to Seattle and we moseyed in there together – who do you think they cut off first? Like, you with, like, ordering more food, or me ordering more beer? Yeah, because you're ordering, like, the top-level meats, and I'm just like, bro, as soon as you set that one beer down, go get another one, dude. Like, just go get another one right now.
I'm thinking, I don't know, you can do some work on that. I don't know. That might be a tie. I would think they'd have to cut you. Well, no, it'd probably be me.
They'd be like, say me. It would be pretty funny. They'd have to come to the point like, sir, you have to stop drinking, and you can keep eating if you want. You, sir, you have to quit eating, and you can keep drinking if you want. Like, you guys got to stop. Your consumption levels are all entirely off. Oh, man. That sounds like a hell of a deal, bro. I wish they had that here in Vegas.
Oh, yeah, right? I mean, but I think that's probably their thing. They're like, well, if we fill them up on beer, they won't be able to eat any more meat. And I'm just like, sir, I'm just going to partake – in one value beer after the full price beer, and then the rest will be meat.
I love it.
Like,
I love
let's
it, man.
Go.
You have, once you come back to Vegas, we'll have to go have a boys' night. You have made my My son is a Korean barbecue fan. My wife is not a Korean barbecue fan. So we'll have to go have a boys' night and
That's
go
right.
get
boys
some Korean
night.
Barbecue. All right, man. Dig well, listen, I'll let you go enjoy the evening in Seattle. I'm actually going to try to get to sleep a little bit early. I got a 7 a.m. flight out tomorrow morning out to the ice-cold Columbia, Missouri. So I'm going to try to get a little decent night's sleep. And, yeah, we'll catch and reconvene on the other side. Appreciate everybody that supports us over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. We will have an hour and a half on Monday afternoon, as we mentioned. And for everybody else, thanks for listening.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.